talk about the triple treasure. what is the significance of triple treasure? Taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. I think the triple treasure in Zen Buddhism is the foundation of precepts. precept in Zen Buddhism is not a kind of moral code. which we believe that moral code demands you, force you not to do something. By not your initiative, will, or but by this somebody else, something else. But in Zen, our precept is the Buddha nature, universe, the spirit of the universe. This is precept itself. So to receive the precept is to realize, to awaken the universe, Buddha nature. This is a precept. So Bodhidharma mentioned to receive means to awaken or to realize. I mentioned before, to realize is to accept and to digest. You have to accept totally universe as it is, because you live there beyond your understanding. So the realization means to accept, and also something what you have accepted must be digested through and through until it turns into life energy. so this is awakening, we say. Awakening or awareness or realization. So to receive is to awaken awareness. To awareness of Buddha nature, awareness of the universe. This is to receive. Also, Bodhidharma mentioned to receive is, excuse me, to awaken is to transmit. What you have awakened deeply through your body and mind must be transmitted from generation to generation beyond your will. Anyway, that is when you realize, when you experience that point, you really appreciate human life, because you realize how sublime life is, human life is. Sublimity, kind of feeling of sublimity, or the experience of sublimity. Comes from something you have awakened. The depths of existence. So, To receive means to awaken. To awaken means to transmit. So what you have awakened is transmitted. Beyond your will, beyond your control. Even though you don't know or you like it, it is transmitted. That's why from generation to generation, we all can learn spirit of human beings. What human beings is, what is real spirit of human beings is. Even though you don't have education or you have education beyond your capability, anyway, it's going constantly from generation to generation. That's why whenever you are born in this world, we have lots of opportunity to learn. So what do we learn? That is some the depth of existence. That is called, technically, we say Buddha nature, or plainly speaking, this is the universe. Okay. Physically, mentally, spirit of universe. Okay. We should awaken to this, because it is going constantly through all ages. Okay. So we have to awaken. Then, if you awaken, very naturally, you can transmit it to next generation. So, every ages, human beings repeat same things. When you were born, we don't awaken to it. So, your ancestors, your teachers, and anyway, try to awaken you to sublimity of human life. The depth of existence. Okay? Then you awaken. Then next, you really want to take the lead in transmitting it to next generation. So, very naturally, it's a constantly Dhamma transmission there from generation to generation. Constantly, in a wide sense, there is constantly transmission of exquisite image of human life throughout all generations. That's why, finally, we appreciate human life. And we try to help human beings. Okay? So that is precept. Seen of Zen Buddhism. So precept is Buddha nature. Then to receive precept is to awaken Buddha nature. What do you mean to awaken? That is transmit. To transmit. So then, very naturally, you can create the human culture and you can build up human world in peace and harmony under all circumstances, through all ages. This is a human effort we do constantly, repeatedly. Okay? That is a precept, okay? So, the triple treasure is the very foundation of the precepts. Okay? The first step of entering into the universe, so called precepts. Okay. So, here is in Zen Master Dogen, page 60, I think Dogen then mentions about this triple treasure. So, he said here like this, He said they means they means triple treasure, three treasures, okay? They deserve our veneration and respect no matter how much our life and body may change. I mean that throughout a limitless life in immense spans of time, period of time, okay? Immense period of time, span of time. That means life and body may change. How much our life and body may change. So we should respect and we should take refuge in triple treasure throughout countless lives in immense expanse of time. I think take refuge means not escape from human world or not escape to one from another. To take refuge in Japanese is called in Japanese namu, namkie. Namo in Sanskrit, namo means for devotion or throwing away your body and mind. So namo means total devotion, full devotion to. Full devotion means just like a relation with between your thought, your body, and or stomach. Stomach, your thought. It seems to be different. Stomach is kind of different from your thought. Your stomach is exactly the same as your thought, because it's a very close relation. So if you become your thought, your mind becomes very nervous, you have a stomachache, you know? Stomach upset. So they are two, but they are not two. They're exactly working together. Okay? Without leaving any trace of the stomach, of the thought. That is reality where your stomach and thoughts work together. So that is called full devotion. Full devotion. Okay. So and that is, in English we say take refuge in, or another expression in English is go to Buddha for guidance, we say. But anyway, take refuge in means total full devotion. So, and also, so the Dogen Zenji mentioned also, from day and night, be mindful of triple treasures. Okay? In your everyday life, be mindful of triple treasure. What is the reason why we have to do this? Then Dogen Zenji mentions because we take refuge in the Buddha, because he is our great teacher. Buddha is our great teacher. Great means completely beyond that human value, good or bad. Anyway, that Buddha is great. Anyway, great, beyond human evaluation. The spirit, essence of universe
and merit of the universe and functioning of the universe is completely great beyond your speculation. When you realize, you become universe. You become universe means, in other word called Buddha. You say Buddha. So, Shakyamuni Buddha, Gautama Siddhartha, anyway, realized this, the essence of universe, the merit or virtue of the universe, attribute of universe, and functioning of universe. Then Gautama Siddhartha becomes, anyway, Buddha. So, we take refuge in the Buddha because he is our great teacher. We take refuge in the law, in the Dharma, because it is good medicine. Dharma is teaching. Teaching is completely beyond human evaluation, beyond moral sense or ethic sense, anyway. So, the Dharma is the truth. Dharma is something coming from the truth, so it's really benefit to everyone, all sentient beings, just like rain, nurture, all kinds of grasses, trees, and the pebbles, and the human beings, and the airs, and everything. So that is the Dharma. That's why Dharma is good medicine. And we take refuge in the Buddhist community because it is composed of excellent friends. So, community is, Sangha is a community, but it's not usual community, not usual sense of community, because this community has lots of people who try to follow the Buddha's way because they are excellent friends for you. Not good friend, not usual sense of good friend. Good friend means that the three meaning has a three meaning. One is, well, good friend for in the usual sense. If a friend gives you something benefit, you say he is good friend. But second sense of a good friend is the person who they command respect from others beyond a sense of a give and take. Even though a person cannot give materialistically, practically, anything benefit to you, but you can really respect deeply. This is kind of good friend. Okay. The third good friend is complete beyond. Whether you can respect or you can give something or etc., or even though you live far from his or her, anyway, he or she always influences your life in a wide sense. Even though if you think of it, it really helps. So that is a good friend. Even though you think of a just for a moment, the presence of this person at that time, he or she really helps your life. It's not merely imaginable world. But imagination is a part of your life. So imagination is also important for us. The important point is how you can put the imaginable life into practice. Anyway, you have to make, you know, imagine, you have to give life to imaginable life. You cannot stay off with the imagination, okay? So you should take care of imagination, but you have to also think how you can put the imagination into practice. This is also important for us. So that is a third friend, third meaning of the good friend. That is really excellent in many ways. That third, the third good friend always helping you in many ways. Okay. So that is community, okay? So called Sangha, we say. So this Sangha is quite different from usual sense of community. People just gather and live together. It's not Sangha, okay? Each of you has to be an excellent friend to others, okay? Do you understand? And because you must be following Buddha's teaching, you must be following the essence of the universe and the virtue of the universe, functioning of a universe. And then you become excellent friends to others. But usually you are not. So that's why in the United States, in the community, lots of problems. Because most of people think Sangha is just the usual community. No, I don't think. Why? I understand because the people who practice in the community are not different from others. So all of you are just human beings. I agree. But you are a human being, but you are not a human being. Don't forget this point. Okay? You are Buddha anyway. If you forget you are Buddha, you become usual human being. Why you should ignore? Because reason is simple. I don't understand that I am Buddha. That's it. But Buddha means beyond you understand or not, you are exactly Buddha. Buddha means, what would you say, total qualification of living in this world under all circumstances. Excellent qualification of living in this world. No excuse. So we have to respect each other's and all sentient beings. But we always forget we are Buddha. The reason is we don't understand it. That's it. We don't have any chance to communicate with the spirit of Buddha. That's why we cut it off. But that is really senseless. As a human being. So, we are human beings, but we are not human beings. You shouldn't forget this point. And then, if you are mindful of you are Buddha, that is really, driving force, which gives life to you in the everyday. And the next Dogen Zenji mentions it is only by taking refuge in the three treasures that one can become a disciple of the Buddha and become qualified to receive all the other precepts. Okay? So, only by taking refuge in the three treasures, triple treasures, you can become a disciple of the Buddha. In other words, you can become a son of the Buddha. Okay. I mentioned this Friday morning, last Friday morning, a son of the Buddha means Buddha, I mentioned already, meaning of the Buddha is exactly same as the spirit of universe, cosmos, anyway. So son of the Buddha means that you have to completely accept universe, where all sentient beings exist. So there is no excuse to ignore anything in this world. If you accept yourself, you have to accept all sentient beings, not something separate from your life, but as a contents of your life. So each of your life are not different from me. But if I accept you, all of your life, something separate from me, that's intellectual world. So very naturally, I can discriminate between I and you. So no sense of human warmness. No sense of human warmness created by human heart or spirit. So very naturally, you cannot communicate each other. So, disciple of the Buddha is you have to be son of the Buddha. Means you are person who accept all others' life, all sentient beings as a content of your life. At that time, you are called son of the Buddha, a disciple of the Buddha. Okay? Or universe. Okay? Universe is vast. What do you mean? Universe completely accepts you. How? Universe accepts your life exactly as a content of the universe. The universe never separate your life. Universe never separate its own life from your life. So all of your life, tree's life, bird's life, and your life, so winter's life, spring's life, are exactly accepted as a content or quality of the universe. So that's why universe becomes a Buddha. You are son of the Buddha. And then, if you realize this one, then you can put this spirit into practice. How? You should accept others' life as a content of your life. And then, others' life becomes coming very close to you. Okay? So others' life is others' examples. The example of others' life is not something other stories separate from you. Okay? Example of the others in their life is exactly content of your life, my life. So very naturally, others' life becomes mirror for me. My life becomes mirror for others. So always accept, and my life is reflected in others. My life is reflected in others' life. Others' life are reflected in my life. So always very close relation there. So that's why whatever kind of problem you bring up, or whatever lifestyle you follow, I cannot ignore. So I have to be good listener. Under all circumstances, with practicing constantly six parameters, giving, precepts, patience, effort, meditation, total calmness, and wisdom. Practicing those six parameters, I have to continually be good friend to you. I have to be good listeners to all of you. Then we can really communicate. Then you become a good friend. For me, I become a good friend for you. That is called a disciple of Buddha. Okay? Or a son of the Buddha, we say. That's why Buddha mentions also in the Saddhama Pundarika in the sutra, Buddha mentions all sentient beings are a son of the Buddha. Okay? My son, my brother and sister. What do you mean? Okay? You have to digest this one because universe completely accepts whole all sentient beings as a content of its life. So, this is Buddha. Then you are son of the Buddha. Trees is a son of the Buddha. So that's why by taking refuge in the three treasures, the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and then you can have a chance to become the son of the Buddha. Okay? And also, you become qualified to receive all the other precepts. And then, Triple Treasure, total devotion to the Triple Treasure, turn into, the motive power. Okay? Motive power of giving life to everydayness, okay? Just like energy, just like a gasoline, you know, for the car. It's not gasoline, but it's example, okay? So taking refuge in the triple treasure is turned into, anyway, a motive power's driving force of coming alive constantly. If so, what is taking refuge? What is the point? How can we touch that spirit of taking refuge, which turns into motive power? Here says, merit of having taken refuge in the three treasures inevitably appears when there is a spiritual communion between the trainee and the Buddha. Here says, spiritual communion between the Buddha and the practitioner, Buddha and you. Spiritual communion means interacting communion of appeal and response. For instance, I appeal for help. Okay. I ask you to help. Not ask. Anyway, ask is more a strong meaning. I appeal in many ways. Okay? in many ways, spiritually and materialistically. Anyway, even though I don't do this, I don't do something particular, but I appeal constantly to you to help, for help. Okay? So I appeal not to particular, I appeal for help. This appeal is not open to the particular existence. I appeal whole universe for help. Whole universe, in this case, whole universe means I don't know what it is. But you realize there is nothing to ask for help in this world. But you realize there is something you can appeal beyond human samsaric world, even though you don't know what it is. So at that time, how do you do? You pray. You pray. P-R-A-Y. You pray for your life, other's life, to what? Not particular. To vastness of space and existence. How do you do? In concrete way. You look up the sky, look up to the sky, and pray. What's in the sky? We don't know. Sky is called Akasha, we say, in Sanskrit. Akasha is characteristic by no obstruction, nothing to obstruct, nothing to interrupt, and allow all beings to be functioning in peace and harmony. That is Akasha. So you don't know what the space is. When you look up to the sky and pray something, please help me, or something like that. But you don't know what the space is. But spiritually, in a deep sense, you understand already what the space is. That's why naturally you look up to the sky and pray. And also altar in the church, and altar in the Buddhist temple, anywhere altar is little higher than you. So obviously you look up to the upper space. Okay? And then you pray. And then when you pray, you knee down to the floor. Means you become lower. In other words, you become humble. Okay? You really become humble, and then at that time you look up to the sky and pray. Intellectually, you don't understand it, but spiritually, everyone knows. So that is appeal. We say appeal. Okay? And then response. At that time, response comes from universe, whole universe, space, Akasha. It's coming. And then this is called whole universe. Universe is, I used a different term, spirit of universe, spirit of Akasha, whatever. Okay? And then very naturally, you can, if you completely feel that spirit of universe and appeal for the help or appeal for giving life to for the coming of the alive, okay, in your everyday life, very naturally you can be one with the universe. Okay, that is the response. In other words, if you stick out, if you try to reach out your hand to the universe, universe stick out its own hand. But that is a spiritually broad sense. It's really truth. Then Buddha universe, spirit of universe, and you are the path of your life, path of the universe, become one, interconnected, crossing each other. That is called Doko, Kanno, Doko of Kanno Doko. Kan means appear. No of Do, Kanno is response. Do of Doko is the path. Ko of Doko is to cross. So appeal, response, come across very quickly. When can you see this one? That is exactly, how to say, shikan or wholeheartedness. In the Saddhama Pundarika, in the Saddhama Pundarika, here it says, if you read this one, just the surface, it is kind of mysterious, okay? But it is pretty true. If you consider very deeply, for instance, he says, the Buddha answered the Bodhisattva infinite thought, good son, if there be countless hundred thousand myriad kotis of living beings suffering from pain and distress, who hear of this Bodhisattva regarder of the cries of the world, and with all their mind call upon his name, the Bodhisattva regarder of the cries of the world will instantly regard their cries, and all of them will be delivered. That is really faith, total security. But if the moment when your mind is vibrated, you cannot believe it, this one. But right in the middle of wholeheartedness, you can believe it beyond your senses, because you just, because there is total realization of you, total presence of your life, which is exactly settled down right here, right now. Okay? That is called wholeheartedness. With wholeheartedness, you call upon Avalokiteshvara. In other words, if you really see deeply the total picture of the human world, samsara, how transient the world is, how fragile human life is, and then you can hear the cries. Okay? And then if you hear the cries, very naturally, the cries of the human beings is simultaneously the listener, so-called Avalokiteshvara. So immediately, you can appeal for help, simultaneously of our universe reach out to you with their hand. That is simultaneously, well, the path, you can see the path through which you and the universe are crossing each other. And then how can you do this? That is by the manifestation of your wholeheartedness. Okay? When you chant, when you repeat the name of Buddha, when you do gassho, anyway you do it. Then, it is exactly the total presence of your life. Okay? Not total presence of your life is exactly same as the total presence of universe before you poke your head into it. And then you feel peaceful simultaneously. That is a sitting zazen. Exactly. You don't know. But even though you don't know, if you sit exactly, totally, with wholeheartedness, there's some part of your body that feels anyway. You can feel peaceful. Because your presence and the presence of the universe are exactly crossing each other. That is so called with all your mind or with wholeheartedness. At that time, that taking refuge in the three treasures, you cannot take refuge in the Buddha and Dharma and Sangha. Because intellectually, if you're trying to get, if you're trying to get the spiritual security or peace, you never get it. So, I think not throwing away your intellectual sense, but please let the intellectual sense join in well, practice with wholeheartedness. That's it. And then there is spiritual security. Exactly is present. But that is not something you try to know. Because you cannot know, but that is something you can exactly touch. Okay? You can touch directly. Okay? By putting yourself right there. Putting myself right here, okay, and then talk. Right here means talking, Karagi's life, and your life's always. Lots of intellectual world coming up. But if I want to talk Buddha's teaching beyond cultural background, my cultural background, your cultural background, all I have to do is to be present right now, right here, with wholeheartedness, and then talk. Then there is some communion. And then I can be very calm, I can be composed, and then very naturally you can be composed, you can be calm, and then communion goes between. That is called taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Okay. So that's why three refuges are very basic practice for us in order to enter the Buddha's world. Okay. Right. Do you have a question? Next, I think I will explain a little more in detail about the Triple Treasure. Okay, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. What does it mean? A little bit intellectually. You know, you have to understand the quality or characteristic of the Triple Treasure. Why we have to believe this one. We have to depend on this Triple Treasure. I will explain next time. in the Shin school, a pure school, my family's office chanted the name of Amitabha every day. And if you're Christians and your office are thinking of God, you are mindful of God, okay? In many ways. If you become a Buddhist, I think you must be mindful of the Buddha Dharma Sangha. Buddha is the universe and the teaching from the universe, and also person who make universe and its teaching alive in his or her life. So very naturally, you can believe, you can respect Sangha. Okay? So everyday life, we must be mindful of Buddha Dharma Sangha, as well as, you know, Christian people. Christian people are always mindful of God. They don't understand what the God is, that's fine. But point is, you have to be mindful from day to night. From day to night, anyway. From through countless lives, okay, in the immense span of time, then that makes your life very stable. Okay?
In the times, Guru Buddha says that, that if a large rock is thrown into the lake, then a huge crowd of people goes down to the lake and circles the lake, chanting the magic formula that no matter how long they were going to do that, the rock would still be on the bottom. So that seems different from that section in the Lotus Sutra that encourages people to invoke Kanzeyan.
Oh, that example is taken. I'm not clear that example, you know, Buddha mentioned. I think the Buddha before Buddha mentioned that you know, stories, I think there is some teaching at some point before that story or after story. So I have to understand the both, you know, why
I think he's telling talking to a certain young Brahmin who has been memorizing all the
Yes, I think the in the ancient time, I think the Indian people try to become one with the universe. In other words, I mentioned the Kanno Dog in order to experience interacting of the communion of appeal and response. They try to, but they don't know how. Then they try to experience that through ritual. That ritual is, what would you say, if you do this, you can go there. So they, then people really expect some benefit from that through the ritual. So ritual is unique opportunity for them to allow them be one with universe and their life. But Buddhism is a little different. Okay. It's not a ritual. Okay. It's ritual, but ritual is important, but ritual, the content of ritual. How do you take care of ritual? But usually we expect the result of a ritual. Do you understand? That's why Buddha mentions all these rocks down in the bottom of the ocean and lake, you know? So always they are always expecting some result. But Buddhism is the quality of a ritual. How do you digest ritual every day? Okay? Instead of touching to the result of a ritual. If you attach to the result of ritual, you become a very utilitarian. Okay. Is that clear?
So how can you chant Kazuyan's name?
That's what with.
Without being utilitarian.
No. But you have to understand what the meaning of Bodhisattvas and Avalokiteshvaras. This is a teaching anyway. Okay? But intellectually, what's Avalokiteshvaras? You know, we cannot believe in it because Avalokiteshvara is not human existence, human beings. You know, so it's very creative, imaginable beings. So we cannot believe it, you know, intellectually. But anyway, there is some meaning because why human beings create this image of the Avalokiteshvara? It's coming from the heart of human life, you know. It's not intellectual world. It's coming from the heart of the human life, coming from generation to generation, touching the anyway depth of existence, and then that human beings want to express that heart in many ways. And then heart is manifested as a compassion, sometimes as a wisdom, and then compassion is symbolized by Avalokiteshvara, or wisdom is symbolized as a Manjushri, something like this. So it's coming from the human heart. So intellectually it doesn't make sense actually, but spiritually it has a lot of meaning there. Then we should understand this one. For instance, kindness and compassion, friendliness, we don't understand it. But we should, and because it is very abstract, you know. But we should understand what the kindness is, coming from the relation among the human beings. What is it? We have to understand as best as we can. But understanding the kindness through the intellectual sense is not good enough. So you have to put it into practice. In other words, you have to taste kindness directly. Anyway, sharing your life with the people, then you really taste what the kindness is. So how? You should really give kindness to others with wholeheartedness. When you see somebody, suffering, you can really give kindness, and then people feel real kindness, real sense of kindness, and appreciate your life. So that's why wholeheartedness is important practice for us. But on the other hand, we have to understand what the kindness is in many ways. You know, the pilgrimage in Japan or in India or whatever, religious pilgrimage is very helpful for you because it is a real practice, actual practice, actual practice of spiritual life. So very naturally, you can share your life, you can share your understanding of kindness with the people directly, every day. Communicating with human beings and natures, etc., through the practice of pilgrimage. So you can feel something deep. Result of ritual? Oh yes, in a sense, result of ritual, but I think if you think result of ritual, I think you should think also of the cause of ritual, okay? Cause of ritual is you, okay? You have to do it, okay? And then you can see the result of ritual. Without cause of ritual, you cannot see the result of ritual. Do you understand? If you really want to have a result of ritual, you have to think, you have to accept the cause of ritual. Cause of ritual. Do you understand? Cause of ritual and process and the conditions of rituals around the cause. Around the cause. So that means what? That means, you know, actual practice of taking refuge itself. That is a cause and conditions around the cause. So the cause of a ritual is ritual, so called taking refuge in the Buddha means you have to just chant, okay? Initially, that is a cause of ritual. But on the other end, you have to take care of, anyway, your emotions, feelings, and the circumstances, etc. So you have to practice and the triple treasures as a ritual with your physical body, mental situation, and also all circumstances. And then you can bring up anywhere it is, result. Okay? But it's pretty easy to stay with the result. Then, Buddhist way is you should give the result to the universe. With what you have had. That is egolessness. Okay? Practice. It's very compassion. It's the real spirit of compassion. Give it to somebody. Instead of arrogance and the boast of result of your practice. I did it, you know. We always feel like this, you know. It's pretty easy for us to be a khaki. Do you understand? You know, always we feel that. Mentally or in many ways. So you have to be free from that. That is so-called egolessness.